just wanted to say that he said he would have no other God before him.
That's right. No other God.
Take money and make it their God.
That's right. People take money and make it their God. Yeah. Look, there's nothing wrong with having money.
Right.
But there is a whole lot wrong with money having you. Now, please understand, I'll be right with you. Listen, there is nothing wrong with having money. Scripture will never tell you that there is something wrong with having money, but it will tell you over and over and over again, there is a problem with money having you. And too many people make too many decisions for the kingdom of God based on the money. Yeah, and I got news for you. God's not poor. Heaven is not experiencing a recession. They are not running out of supply. We need, as kingdom children, to understand God's attitude toward finances. He gives it for us to enjoy. He wants us to handle it well so that He can trust us with more. He wants us to understand that He is giving it to us to further His kingdom and to bring more people into the body of Christ and not to hold on to it selfish. I want you to go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I tell you, you can look at some people and you know exactly where their treasure is. And again, Bible tells us over and over again, God will not withhold any good thing from us. The Bible tells us that He gives us everything for our enjoyment. The Bible tells us that He who gave His Son will give us all things that we need. There is nothing wrong with enjoying your life. But please understand, the most opportunistic, powerful way that you can enjoy your life, and you will be shocked at the fulfillment you will have and the excitement and how great God is doing things in the world around you and bringing people to Christ, when you start understanding that your enjoyment comes building the kingdom of God. You know, Robert Morris tells a story that is pretty profound. And he went to college with a guy, and the guy had another friend that the three of them palled around. And the one guy left college, and his goal was to become a millionaire. And so he made all his decisions based on becoming a millionaire. And that's what he did. That was his drive. That was what he did. His family became second. Everything else, you know, he was a driven man. He was going to be successful. And he had his friend come visit him some 15, 20 years later. And he walked into this beautiful home, just absolutely beautiful home, in a beautiful neighborhood. And he said, you know, he said, I'm really proud of all I've done. And his friend said, yeah. He said, I can see all that you've done. And his friend said, he said, so what have you been doing? His friend said, well, I'm raising my family, and I'm very happy. I'm a pastor. And I'm just so enjoying my life. He goes, oh, well, good for you. He goes, come on, let me just show you around. He said, just let me show you, you know, where I am. So he took him out, and he put him in a Jaguar, and started driving him through the neighborhood. And he said, look at that over there. And his friend took out his paper, little notepad, and he wrote down, IWB. IWB. Let me show you where I work. Took him to this beautiful office. He wrote down office, IWB. He said, oh, I want to introduce you to my secretary. He wrote down Nancy, IW. Went on, took him to the second house that he owned, IWB. Said, this is the country club I belong to, IWB. Let me introduce you to the golf pro Joe, IW. Got back to his house, and he sat down for a cup of coffee, and he said, I noticed you were writing in your notebook, and he picked it up, and he's going, IWB, IW, IWB. What in the world are you talking about? He goes, oh, I was just noticing on the little trip we took today, certain things you showed me, it will burn. It will burn. It will burn. It won't. She won't. He won't. It'll burn. And he said, what? And he said, yeah. He said, you've built your life on things that are going to burn. And he said, the only thing that is never going to burn to waste are people. He said, now some are going to burn. He said, but they will never die. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Matt, you have it? 2 Peter chapter 3?
Amen.
Okay.
You said it, Kelly.
Take your pick and pass it down. Sorry. Sorry, did that wake everybody up? Okay, because we're in 2 Peter chapter 3. If you weren't awake before. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. It will burn. Whatever you're hoping for, whatever you're working for, if it isn't involving people, it will burn. It'll burn. Now go to Matthew 6, verse 20. Matthew 6, verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, there's one place where it's not going to burn, and that's heaven. There's one place where it's not going to burn, and that's heaven. And this is such a difficult thing to talk about because people walk away and they're like, oh man. That is the furthest thing that God wants you to feel. God wants you to enjoy what He has blessed you with. He just does not want it to own you. He wants to be able to use every single person in this room to further His kingdom. That is His desire. And when it becomes our focus to get the most toys, see, whoever has the most toys does not win. That is a big lie straight from the pit of hell. That is not how you win. He is asking each one of us to please put our treasure where our heart is. To put our treasure where our heart is. Go to Proverbs verse chapter 27. Wow, somebody else needs a pen over there. We're on a roll. Proverbs 27. This verse is so significant, and so many people do not ever pay attention to it. Verse 23, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. Ladies, we should know. We should know what's going on with our finances. And this is an area where women are pretty lousy, if I must say so. Many, many women, they have no idea where their money's gone. And this is a very significant advice straight from the Word of God, is to know the condition of your flocks. What he's saying there is know the condition of what you own. Know the condition of what you own. And, you know, I'm probably too much to the other side of that. I somewhere between one of us and me is a happy medium in that I hold up grocery lines because I document absolutely everything before I leave the grocery line. Yeah, when I buy something in a store, I stop, I document everything before I move on, and because I want to know the condition of my flocks. Yeah, and however your system works for you, I don't care how it works for you, but I want you to know that God is telling you, look, what I have blessed you with, you need to know about it. Can't just take it for granted, shrug it off, and not be conscious of what I'm doing in your life. Now, on the other hand of that, as I'm talking, I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 3. Well, if you're that fast, I'm telling you what. Philippians chapter 3. But what I want you to understand is that God is saying to know that just because He wants you, you know, when you understand what God has blessed you with, and when you understand your finances, and when you understand your car and your home or whatever God has blessed you with, your children, your job, when you are paying attention to that, what you are really saying is, God, I am honoring the source that has provided this for me. I am honoring you as my source. And as I pay attention to what I have, I am saying, thank you, God, for trusting me with the little. And it isn't that we are worshiping it. It is very, very clearly that we are just taking care of what God has given us. It's that simple. Yeah, I grew up with a friend, and her name was Kay, and Kay lived down the street from me, and she never wanted to do laundry. So every time her clothes got dirty, her mom would go buy her new clothes. Because she wasn't paying careful attention to her flock. How many of you drive your car until the oil needs changed, and then you keep going another 20 or 30,000 with the oil needing changed? And how many of you, don't worry about whether you get your house cleaned or not? And how many of you don't worry about what your kids are doing and what time they get in or what's going on with them? And how many of you are really taking care of your flock? And I'll be right with you. I'm right on a thought, okay? And what I want you to understand is that that is all very, very important. But as important as that is, if we do not do it with a godly attitude, we are going to develop the art of discontentment. And there are people who have mastered discontentment. That no matter what's going on in their life, they find something wrong with it, and they find a reason to be discontented and want something different. It doesn't matter what it is. They'll pray for something, God will bless them with it, and it's not good enough, and they have developed the art of discontentment. And what I want you to see very clearly is part of appreciating God as our source is being very, very thankful for all the blessings that He has poured into our lives. And women especially, I feel, or maybe it's just I'm around women all the time. You all have to hang around some men if you want to challenge me on this. But we become very easily discontented. And all that is really saying is, God, you weren't good enough on this one. I'm not thankful this time. You could have done better. And Eve started it, that's right, and boy, we're carrying it on, aren't we? Right, now I want you to look at something, verses 7 through 10 of Philippians chapter 3. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, a righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in death, and somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. I want to be like Christ. What Paul is saying is, I've given it all up so that I can know the power. And he's saying, I am content in any situation that I am in so that I may have the power of God resting on me. Ladies, do not hold on to what you cannot keep. And for that reason, lose what you never should have. Do not hold on to what you can't keep anyway at the risk of losing what you never should have. Amen? And we're really, when our treasure's in heaven, we are one day going to wake up and we're going to be in front of Jesus Christ. And you know what's going to matter then? Jesus. It's going to be the only thing we care about. Nobody in heaven is going to say, oh really, what car did you drive? Oh, really, what was your address? Oh, and where did your kids go to college? Oh, well, tell me all this. No. No, they're not going to say that. You know what they're going to say? Let's go worship at the feet of Jesus. There's only going to be one name that matters in heaven, and that name's going to be Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 Yes.